No one can keep a secret forever. Mark Hacking and his wife, Lori, are a young Mormon couple with a bright future ahead of them.
Mark and Lori were high school sweethearts. They were thought of as good young examples of what a young married Mormon couple should be.
But lies can tarnish even the brightest futures.
Whether it was a suicide attempt or just going berserk, I don't know.
I'm done with this!
She wasn't going to put up with it anymore.
It seems so bizarre. It was hard to even wrap your head around it. Hard to even understand that all of it had been a lie.
And when this couple's dark secrets are revealed, one of them is left with no future at all.
For both families, it was like losing two children at once.
So many lives were now devastated and ruined. It still is so heartbreaking to me.
Soon, every dirty little secret will be revealed. It's 2004 in Salt Lake City, Utah. And when Mark and Lori Hacking's friends and family see them together, it's clear the pair are meant to be.
They were just one of those couples that you're like, oh my gosh. You know, they really loved each other and took care of each other.
Lori and Mark were always together. They were very sweet with each other. It always seemed really natural for the two of them to be together.
By all appearances, Mark's snagged the perfect wife. Lori's smart, honest, and has a wicked sense of humor.
Lori was really outgoing and lots of fun. She was very responsible. She always had everything planned out.
She was always really tender with Mark, and you always knew that she really loved Mark.
Lori's found herself a perfect match, too. Mark will do anything to make her laugh.
Mark was always really kind to Lori. He was always very soft with Lori. He was always making her laugh, and their whole life was just, like, laughing together, it seemed. He was a big teddy bear with her, and she called him that.
Both Mark and Lori come from devout Mormon families, and their shared faith makes their love even stronger. They attend church together every week and often do volunteer work. Mark had even spent 2 years in Canada before they got married, serving on a Mormon mission.
Mark and Lori were regular church attenders. They were well known in their local church, and they were thought of as good young examples of what a young married Mormon couple should be.
Things are going extremely well for the model couple in the summer of 2004. Lori has a great job as an assistant stockbroker, and Mark has just graduated with honors from the University of Utah with a degree in psychology. But big changes are on the horizon. Mark's been accepted to medical school at the University of North Carolina.
When they got married, the plan was for Lori to put Mark through medical school, and I think everything was on track for that.
His father and brother had attended medical school. It was something that he was working toward, working very hard to follow in kind of a family tradition.
Lori was just really excited that he wanted to be a doctor, and so she was to put him through school and, you know, kind of live the dream.
Now Mark and Lori are preparing to say goodbye to friends and loved ones and move more than 2,000 miles away.
When he told his family and when Lori told her family that they were moving to Chapel Hill to go to medical school, it wasn't surprising. That was a logical next step for a young man who's going to follow in his father's footsteps.
As they pack up their belongings and prepare to begin a new chapter in their lives at the University of North Carolina, Mark and Lori have even more to celebrate.
It's been so long, but it finally happened.
Lori has just discovered she's pregnant.
Lori was just a few weeks pregnant when she and Mark told their family. And by all accounts, she was extremely excited.
I know!
Do you know what you're gonna name it?
They were planning on getting pregnant. This is something that she was really excited about. This was gonna be another adventure for her.
It's an exciting time for the Hackings. But their good fortune is about to run out. July 19th, 2004, seems like just another typical Monday morning. Lori gets up around 5 a.m. to go on one of her routine morning jogs before work. But what happens next is anything but routine.
She went jogging at 5 o'clock, and she didn't come back.
Yeah, hi. I was wondering, did she happen to come in to work yet today?
When Lori doesn't return home, Mark calls her office to see if she's gone straight to work.
Her coworkers told him that she hadn't come in that day, which was very unusual. She was a punctual person. She'd never not come in before without calling.
Okay, bye.
Mark has a gut feeling that something is very wrong. He calls police and reports Lori missing.
I think something terrible might have happened.
When the first call came in, policy is wait 24 hours. However, in this particular situation, she went out for a run, didn't come home, didn't go to work, and she was alleged to be pregnant at the time, about 5 weeks pregnant. So we started looking.
Police drive out to the mountain trail where Lori went running and find her car still parked near the front gates. But there's no sign of her anywhere. It's as if she's vanished into thin air. Word quickly spreads to friends and family that Lori is missing.
I heard about a missing woman and my heart just dropped. I just kind of got chills everywhere and went numb. We had no idea where she was. It was really devastating.
Her mom was just beside herself when I got there.
Have you seen her anywhere?
She was just hanging off of me with both hands and crying and saying, we have to find her.
Listen, there's a bit of a situation here.
Have you seen Lori at all today?
It's really worrying everybody.
Friends and family grow more and more concerned. Panicked, they try to imagine what might have happened to the young mother-to-be. And speculation spreads like wildfire. Perhaps she's been injured and collapsed on the trail.
It could have been some kind of a medical emergency, or she could have fallen. She could have been hurt and physically incapable of getting help for herself.
Or she could have been attacked by some of the wildlife that roams the canyon.
We do have animals out in that area. We've had mountain lions. So there are all kinds of dangers.
But not all predators prowl on four legs. Perhaps Lori's been abducted. That kind of thing has happened before.
This was not long after the Elizabeth Smart kidnapping, where a little girl not far from that location had been kidnapped out of her home and taken up into the hillside and held against her will.
My first thoughts was that someone had taken her. My horror was whatever might be happening to her. I just couldn't get that out of my head.
We considered all possibilities. Anything could have happened. We didn't know.
I think everybody was extremely frightened. The unthinkable was happening.
As theories about what may have happened to Lori swirl, detectives try to retrace Lori's steps, starting back at home.
To work by 8 every day.
But when they talk to Mark, they're surprised to hear him reveal that Lori has a secret.
It just was too much for her.
One that leads investigators to suspect that she won't be found on the hiking trail.
What does that mean? Is she dead? She been abducted? Whatever happened to this beautiful young lady?
You don't understand. This kid's not right.
A strange occurrence may shed some light on Lori's mysterious disappearance.
I don't think this was a typical missing persons case. From the beginning, it was very clear that there was something different about it.
It's not right.
Lori Hacking, vivacious wife and mother-to-be, has vanished without a trace, leaving her husband Mark, her family, and their tight-knit Mormon community in utter panic.
They thought she may have been abducted. They were just very anxious and very committed to trying to find her.
But after speaking with Mark, investigators begin to doubt that they're dealing with an abduction.
You know, honestly, she was under a lot of pressure.
Mark tells detectives that lately, Lori's chipper exterior has been masking tremendous anxiety. While he's excited about their impending cross-country move, she's not. Mark says Lori's struggling with saying goodbye to family and friends and is reluctant to leave her job and start over again in a new city.
I know that she was really nervous about going so far away from everyone. Not just her mom, but Mark's family was like a great support to her. She had a lot of friends here, and so this was going to be a big change for her.
It's just such a huge move in our family.
Mark tells police the added pressure of giving birth more than 2,000 miles from her support network terrifies her.
Everything's gonna be all right.
He fears it all may have been too much for Lori to handle.
I can't, I don't wanna go.
I mean, I can't imagine that much stress, right? I mean, learning that you're going to be a parent and right in the middle of that, you're gonna have this big move and you're gonna be away from your family and his family. I think all of that caused a lot of stress in her life, and the police started asking, is it possible that she just got cold feet?
Investigators have to wonder, if Lori is feeling overwhelmed by events in her life, could she have just run off somewhere to escape the pressure?
Could Lori have run away because of what was going on in her life? Certainly. She was facing a pregnancy, relocation. So there's issues in her life that would cause you to be a little unsteady. Maybe she needed a little break.
Any information?
Investigators question Lori's friends and coworkers, looking for any telling signs that she may have fled. And they turn up a curious clue. Friends say there was an incident at Lori's office just 3 days earlier, and the details strike police as bizarre.
No, I am positive.
Lori had received a mysterious phone call that upset her so much she was reduced to tears.
It's not right. It's not right. I don't think that anyone knew what it was about, but they knew that she was obviously visibly upset.
There has to be a misunderstanding.
She became very agitated and very emotional. It was conspicuous because it was unusual for her to have that kind of reaction.
It was clear to the employees around her that she was not the same after she had that phone call and left work actually earlier than she would have normally.
Could this mysterious phone call have something to do with Lori's disappearance? Her friends tell police that Lori was surprisingly tight-lipped about the call. She refused to say what had upset her so much, or who was on the other end of the line. Lori's now been missing for 24 hours. Detectives must consider the possibility that perhaps Lori wants to be missing. It's hard to imagine, but could this seemingly pious mother-to-be actually be hiding a secret? Maybe what Mark said about his wife's reluctance to move has more to do with a secret lover than leaving friends and family.
Could the mysterious phone call have been a lover who wanted to break off their relationship? Maybe she had a lover that she wanted to keep secret.
If it's true, maybe Lori's run off with her mystery caller.
In any case of a missing person, there's always the possibility that has to be addressed that that person may have voluntarily left. What if 2 years later, they discover she's in San Antonio and run away with an old boyfriend?
Police decide the time has come to find out what is really going on inside the Hackings' marriage. But before they can meet with Mark to discuss this suspicious phone call, they get an alarming call of their own. Mark's been committed to a mental hospital.
He seemed to be having a nervous breakdown of epic proportions. He was found naked except for his sandals, screaming at the top of his lungs.
At first, it seems that the stress of Lori's disappearance has driven the devout Mormon to drink. And he's had an unfortunate reaction.
Members of the Mormon faith don't typically drink. They don't typically use illegal narcotics. So it's not an uncommon thing to find that someone has an adverse reaction to pills or to alcohol because they don't have a lot of experience with it.
But what doctors find in Mark's system suggests this may have been more than just an attempt to drown his sorrows.
It was discovered that he had taken some alcohol and some barbiturates or sleeping pills.
Mark's family believes the prospect of losing his pregnant wife has put too much strain on him and driven him to attempt suicide.
I think everybody takes bad news in different ways. You know, some people handle it well, some people can't handle it at all. His wife is gone, and he dealt with it in a bizarre way.
But police are not so easily convinced. They're starting to suspect there's more to Mark hacking than meets the eye.
The suicide watch set off alarm bells. That's certainly not a natural reaction to a missing persons case. So maybe we need to start tugging at the strings of the story.
But detectives quickly hit a roadblock. Now that Mark's on suicide watch, he's not allowed visitors. Perhaps he really is mentally ill. But if he is trying to conceal a secret, getting himself committed to a psych ward could be a perfect way to hide.
The outcome of that was that now the police can't talk to him. He wouldn't be confronted.
Could Mark be using his bizarre behavior to keep a dark secret from being revealed? What could this devout Mormon want to keep hidden from his friends and family? Detectives begin digging into Mark's past and are downright shocked by what they uncover.
Please, please, Jeff.
The truth behind Lori's phone call is finally revealed.
It just didn't make sense to me. It was one of those ones I would never have thought of.
Stop it!
In the wake of his wife Lori's disappearance, Mark Hacking has been admitted to a psychiatric ward following a possible suicide attempt.
His behavior that night was bizarre. It was, whether it was a suicide attempt or just going berserk, I don't know.
With Mark medicated and out of detectives' reach, they focus instead on uncovering more about the mysterious phone call that had so upset Lori just days before she vanished. Why would she have kept it secret? Was it a doctor with devastating news about her pregnancy? Or a lover calling to put an end to a torrid affair?
The mysterious phone call was an extremely important piece of evidence. Something traumatic was conveyed to her. So now the police have to look at every possibility.
Investigators pull phone records, but when they determine who was on the other end of the line, they're puzzled. It wasn't a secret boyfriend at all. In fact, the call doesn't seem to have been anything out of the ordinary.
Hi.
Lori had been on the phone with someone at the University of North Carolina, where Mark would soon be attending medical school.
The phone call was apparently from the admissions or housing office in Chapel Hill. She had been calling to organize housing and financial aid. I think it was especially important to her in light of her pregnancy to make sure that she knew where her nest was going to be.
When detectives follow up with the university, they're shocked to discover precisely what it was that had brought Lori to tears. The admissions officer on the other end of the line had broken some devastating news to Lori. The university has no record of Mark ever being admitted to its medical school.
No, no, there must be a mistake.
This troubled her a lot, obviously.
Yes, I'm sure of all of this.
They even checked the main university as opposed to the medical school, and there was no record of him being accepted as an incoming student.
In fact, there's not even any record of Mark having applied to medical school. Police are baffled. Why would Mark lie to his wife and their families about something so huge? Why else would he be packing up their life to move across the country? What other secrets is Mark hiding?
I think once the police discovered that he had been lying about school, it was only natural that they would wonder what else he was lying about.
Their antennas went up. Once the police learned that you've been deceptive, then all of a sudden everything that you say is subject to greater scrutiny.
Investigators delve into Mark's past, and as they do, they're shocked to discover that getting into medical school isn't the only thing he's lied about. Mark's been living a fictional life for years.
Not only did Mark not apply to medical school, but he had never even graduated from the University of Utah.
He carried out quite a sham. He had a cap and gown picture taken. He printed off his own diploma. So it was pretty ornate falsehood that he pulled off here. It was amazing that he were able to pull those kind of lies off to the point that where he was actually packing his bags and moving to North Carolina to go to school. I'm surprised he was as successful at it as he was.
He's not who you think he is.
What are you talking about?
Lori's and Mark's family and friends are stunned to learn that Mark has been lying to them for years.
When we found out about everything that had gone with Mark's life and that school, all of these things, none of it was real and nothing had happened.
They didn't apply? They didn't apply?
It was total shock. I mean, like, total shock. He had been going to school. There had been schoolwork. There had been graduation, there are all these things that for years he had been in school.
How is that possible?
It seems so bizarre. It was hard to even wrap your head around it, hard to even understand that all of it had been a lie.
Some of his friends try to rationalize Mark's lies. Maybe he felt he couldn't live up to his parents' expectations and didn't want to disappoint them.
I think we all want to make our dads proud, and we all want to live up to the expectations of our parents and our siblings and the community around us. Mark was under a lot of pressure. He needed to look successful, to be successful. He had, by all accounts, the perfect girl, and I think that he wanted to look worthy of that, so he lied.
But detectives soon discover that Mark's lying isn't limited to his academic record. He's also been covering up some unseemly habits expressly forbidden by the Mormon faith.
As soon as we found out that he wasn't enrolled in school, a lot of other secrets started to come out. He was smoking and drinking, and we started to see that there were two very different sides to Mark.
And Mark's bad habits don't end with drinking and partying. The entire community is shocked to learn that Mark never even completed his Mormon mission in Canada. Investigators learn he was sent home early because he'd been caught sleeping with one of the women he'd been trying to convert.
That's another thing that's frowned upon by the Mormon Church. Many Mormons are taught that the husband is the spiritual leader and guide for the family. Given the nature of matrimony in the Mormon Church, that certainly must have aroused suspicion.
The police became certainly alarmed when they learned that his mission trip ended because of a relationship. This was another piece in this puzzle that the police and investigators are starting to put together about who Mark Hacking really was. He created this house of cards that was inevitably going to collapse. And, you know, once that house of cards begins to collapse, what's he capable of doing to try to keep it from people? Mark Hacking had misled his wife, had misled his family. Mark was living two very distinct lives.
It's becoming crystal clear to detectives that Mark Hacking isn't the pious, upstanding family man he's pretending to be.
Mark was a consummate liar. He made himself out to be a person who was doing something with his life, living a very moral and religious life. And as it turned out, he really wasn't. He was carousing around. It was one big lie.
I need you to do some explaining right now.
Police have to wonder how much of her husband's elaborate scam had Lori uncovered.
Why did you call my school?
And if she had confronted Mark about the depths of his lies, could he be involved in her disappearance? Friends and family have trouble believing such a thing is possible.
The family was really supportive of Mark and obviously didn't want to believe that he could do this to Lori. He was their son.
The husband has obviously got to be the first suspect, but there wasn't a whole lot of reason to go, oh yeah, that guy's a murderer. He seemed distraught. He was breaking down. People lie. People do terrible things sometimes. That doesn't make them a murderer.
But investigators are no longer convinced by Mark's performance. They think Mark may be crazy, like a fox. If Mark's other life as a ne'er-do-well and drinker had been revealed, he'd be disgraced. And Mark put great stock in appearing to be an upstanding member of the Mormon community and a successful young professional. How far would he be willing to go to keep those lies secret?
Secrets can be very dangerous. He had created a persona in the community that wasn't real.
You've been lying for the last 3 years!
When you put yourself in a position that preserving that secret becomes the most important thing that you can do, you'll do anything to preserve that secret.
With Lori now missing for days and Mark still under lock and key in the psych ward, police conduct a search of the Hacking home, hoping to find something that will reveal what was really going on in this seemingly happy marriage. But what turns up next only throws their suspicions into doubt. Investigators unearth a document that reveals Lori might be hiding some secrets of her own.
I think this was the last straw. She wasn't going to put up with it anymore.
With Lori Hacking still missing, and her husband Mark confined to a psychiatric ward, police turn the Hacking home upside down, hunting for evidence that Mark's responsible for Lori's disappearance. But what they find seems to resurrect the theory that Lori ran away on purpose. It's a letter from Lori to Mark, written just before she vanished.
The letter said the extent of his deception was starting to become clear. And if things didn't change, she was not going to be able to go on with him. And it must have been a very difficult letter to write because she had recently found out that she was pregnant with his child.
Investigators must reconsider the possibility that, devastated by Mark's deceit and unable to see a future with him, Lori may have fled after all.
To find out that everything in her life was a lie, this would all be so devastating to her. I think the most hurtful thing would have been that he had been lying all these years. To know that the person you love the most has been lying to you. That is way more hurtful than anything that has to do with money or school or anything else.
I think that she would have felt really betrayed, and I don't know if something that huge is something that she could have been okay with. She never could have trusted him again.
It's got to make you doubt and reassess absolutely everything that your partner has ever told you.
An investigator who comes across a letter like that is immediately going to think maybe she just got to the point where she couldn't take it any longer. Maybe she left.
But as a Mormon, Lori took her marriage vows very seriously. Despite the depth of Mark's deception, friends still can't believe that Lori would up and leave him.
It's a very important rite of passage for Mormons. They don't even call it a marriage per se, it's a sealing. And if you think about what that means, it means these people are going to be connected to each other for all time and eternity. And they apparently took that very seriously.
I know that she would have been devastated, but I don't know if Lori would have considered leaving Mark. She would have done everything she could to make it right and work it out and see if they could make it okay. She was not a quitter.
Investigators are officially out of answers. But suddenly,
hold on a second.
They notice a small, almost overlooked detail that speaks volumes.
What do you got? Car keys.
Lori's car keys are still sitting in their usual spot.
Lori's keys were still laying out in plain sight. Mark had said that she had driven her car to City Creek to go jogging, which itself was a little abnormal because they didn't live that far from City Creek. She could have jogged there.
How could Lori's keys still be at home when her car was found at the park? Investigators redoubled their efforts, searching the hacking residence with a fine-tooth comb. What they find next changes everything and seems to reveal more about Lori's unfortunate fate. There are telltale traces of blood in the bedroom.
We found blood on the headboard, found blood on the nightstand, small blood splatters.
And that's not all. Police discover something else, a receipt for a brand new mattress.
The very morning that he finds Lori's missing, before he even calls the police, apparently before he even goes looking for her, he goes out to buy a mattress. Obviously, that was very strange and weird. Why in the world would he do that? Obviously, there's some reason to get rid of his present mattress. What would that be? Well, obviously, there's some evidence on it. What is that evidence? Probably blood.
Police have to ask themselves, why else would Mark buy a new mattress the morning of Lori's disappearance if not to attempt to cover up murder?
That was the aha moment, if you will, I think, for everybody that was involved in the police investigation. Detectives, everybody says, okay, something's wrong here.
Police are now convinced Lori is dead and that her husband has killed her. But without a body, it'll be tough to prove. Prosecutors worry the existing evidence is too circumstantial to secure a conviction.
There was some evidence found in the house. Frankly, it wasn't that much. The blood stain in the bedrooms was very minor, and that could have happened anytime. Even though we knew Mark did it, we did not have the absolute proof that she was dead, and that was the real problem with the case.
Police desperately need a smoking gun or a confession. But Mark's not talking. He's still safely beyond investigators' reach in the psychiatric hospital.
In retrospect, that was planned by Mark. He wasn't crazy. He wasn't having a psychotic episode. Mark realized that once he was in the hospital, the prosecutors can't talk to him. He's basically shielded himself.
Even if they can get Mark to talk, police fear getting himself committed to a psychiatric ward may have been a perfect way to establish an unquestionable insanity defense. Is Mark Hacking going to get away with murdering his wife? Police decide the only way to catch this killer is to keep a secret of their own.
The police had orchestrated this really elaborate lie in order to help Mark make a mistake.
Detectives in Salt Lake City, Utah, suspect Mark Hacking has murdered his missing wife, Lori. But with nothing but circumstantial evidence, prosecutors are worried they don't have enough for a conviction.
Obviously, a body is better than no body. Obviously, a confession is better than no confession. They didn't have either of those things.
I'm the guy that has to go in the courtroom and prove it. And I can just see the defense attorney now saying, ladies and gentlemen, can you convict this person of murder when we don't even know for sure that she's dead?
But Mark remains locked away in his hospital room in the psychiatric ward and isn't talking. So police decide if he won't reveal his secrets, neither will they. They keep quiet about how little hard evidence they've found and let Mark think they're building a rock-solid case against him. They hope he'll realize he has but one choice: confess to the murder, or keep up the charade and spend the rest of his life in an insane asylum.
I think Mark didn't know what to do. His world was crumbling. He knew the police were on to him, and the only way out was to shield himself in a mental hospital.
But Mark doesn't crack under the pressure. He stays secreted away in his hospital room and refuses to talk. Prosecutors are quickly running out of options. But just when the case seems hopeless, two informants come forward. They want to remain anonymous because they have shocking information.
We always suspected something. There's just something odd about him.
Mark has finally broken and confessed to Lori's murder.
He killed his wife.
Mark Hacking gave you a full confession.
Yeah. I killed her.
Detectives are stunned to receive a detailed account of what happened when Lori confronted her husband about his deceitful behavior.
Yeah? What? You don't have an answer, do you?
He finally broke down, admitted to her that he'd been living a life of lies.
I think I know what's happening.
He hadn't gone to the university, he hadn't graduated, and no, he was not going to be a graduate school, and basically his life was a failure. She got terribly upset.
I'm done with this.
Threatened divorce. They had a big row.
This was my last resort.
It was such a big fight that when Lori finally went to bed, Mark panicked, believing that in the morning she would spill his secrets and his world would come crashing down around him.
He was distraught, didn't know what to do. He saw this rifle, and he decided to shoot her. He went into the room and put the rifle up to her head and fired.
Lori never went jogging the next morning at all. That's why her keys were still in the drawer.
He had done it very early in the morning and then had gone through the process of taking her body to a dumpster that he apparently knew was going to be emptied that morning.
But who are these confidential sources who claim to have gotten Mark to confess?
He told us everything.
Police can't reveal their identities.
Mark had made a confession to what the police referred to as a reliable citizen witness.
We were having a fight.
At the time that Mark confessed, I was not at liberty to discuss who that person is. That was part of the confidentiality of the investigation.
There's a lot of speculation about who he must have told and whether or not that witness was really as reliable as the police were saying it was.
He grabbed a rifle and he shot her.
If Mark confessed to fellow mental patients who are just as crazy as he's pretending to be, will such a confession hold up in court?
Would there be concern from the public or others about who he confessed to? He's in a psychiatric ward. Certainly, there would be concern about that.
With the case hanging in the balance, the confidential sources agree to come forward. And there's no doubt they're reliable.
he killed Lori.
The only thing more shocking than Mark's confession is who got him to confess. The entire Mormon community is stunned. Two of Mark's very own brothers are the ones who are turning him in.
We were arguing.
Both brothers, Scott and Lance, came in and they ultimately indicated that Mark had confessed to them that he did kill her.
Mark's brothers, who were very concerned for him from a very moral and religious standpoint, and felt like he needed to set the record straight.
They felt an obligation to help him to the best of his ability make amends for the amazingly terrible thing he had done. So they went and visited him in the psychiatric ward where he was being kept. And they told him that they suspected that he had something to do with Lori's disappearance.
You have to get this burden off your soul.
At this point, the lies had come out.
I just couldn't stand seeing her look at me like that. I killed my wife.
In an attempt to save their brother's soul, Mark's brothers have provided prosecutors with the evidence they need to convict him.
He told us they argued, and she found out about all the secrets.
This was a very heroic thing for two brothers to do. Their brother admits to a murder, and they inform the authorities about it.
He told us he panicked. He didn't know what else to do.
I don't know what I would have done in that situation if I knew that my brother had done something so terribly. How do you figure out your loyalties? They knew right away. They're really smart, decent people who love their brother a lot. And they knew very well that what they were potentially doing was giving police and prosecutors the evidence that they needed to send their brother to death row.
Mark Hacking is charged with the murder of his wife, Lori.
When I found out Mark had confessed, I was really sad for everybody. So many lives were now devastated and ruined. It's just so heartbreaking. It still is so heartbreaking to me.
For both families, it was like losing two children at once. The Hackings loved Lori like she was one of their own, and Lori's family loved Mark like he was one of their own. And when they found out, it was like losing two of their children for them.
Mark admits to putting Lori's body in a dumpster, and it's eventually discovered in the city landfill. Mark, whom the judge calls a poster child for dishonesty, is convicted and sentenced to 6 years to life.
Mark's secret destroyed a lot of lives. It destroyed Lori's mom and her dad and his family. His secrets destroyed Lori's life and the life of their baby. I never could have seen anything like this happening because they really did seem like they loved each other, and I think they really did love each other.
The real tragedy of this is that none of it had to happen. At some point, Mark got it in his head that he needed to lie for some reason, to impress his wife, to impress his family, to confirm some expectation about himself that people apparently had, and then he couldn't get out of it.
Mark Hacking thought murdering his wife would keep his secret safe. But ultimately, all his lies were exposed anyway.
Everything that he worked to protect not only came out to his family, came out to the whole world. He wasn't just a liar in front of his dad or his mom. He is a liar and a failure to everybody in the world now, right? Anybody who knows about him.
I don't think anyone really knows who Mark is. I don't think his family knows who he is. Maybe Mark doesn't know who he is, but I certainly have no idea who he is. I don't think I ever did. I think Mark is whoever Lori needed him to be, and I don't know if she ever saw who he really was until the end.